All right.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Donna. I'm well.
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi, Lynn. Good morning.
Morning, Kathy.
Morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Go ahead, John Boy.
Oh, good morning, Bob. Good morning.
John Boy's with us, too.
Good night, John Boy.
All right.
We'll
let's
give
get it.
It. Hang on, oh, we're
no.
early. We're early. Putting my nuclear watch, which gives off radiation.
Okay.
Fire this up. One second. Okay, there it is. 9 o'clock. All right. So it is Thursday, September 9th, 2020, and I'll call the meeting to order at 9 a.m. And I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as proposed. Do I have a second to that? Okay, I do have an. Okay, thank you. I do have an amendment, and that is.
Yeah. No thanking. Just move on. We don't have time today.
That is to add Kathy's letter that she drafted for Ted Foley and the signature items.
I'll second
does anybody
that.
Else? Okay. Does anybody else have any other amendments? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move that we take a vote on the amended agenda. I vote yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All right. We don't have Chris on.
He sent in 9:30.
Okay. We got Kelly in the room, so Kelly, I'll swing right over to you. Did you get a copy of the agenda, by the way?
Yep.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. 47 Idlewise, everything's been ordered, the basin, everything to go with the basin. We'll have that first next week. We will be doing that job next week. Get that off our bucket list. Still haven't seen a driveway permit application with the correct drawing. I gave my information.
Yep.
What I would recommend. So I guess if we add that, did you type that to it, Donna?
It's included here, your recommendation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I read this last night. So your recommendation is to have that catch basin installed by the paving company, correct?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, not the catch basin.
The grate.
The grate. I'm sorry. The grate. Here it is. Grate. Needs to be installed. But if I go to his quote to the homeowner, that's not included. Is that correct? So do we have a clear understanding that that is required?
Well, she hadn't seen the shed.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, this was just what I was hoping she would recommend.
Yeah.
But we're not getting anything, so I gave my recommendation what I would like to see.
Okay.
Now, she can tell the paving company this is what's required and get a new quote.
Yeah, that's what's going to have to happen. Okay. So, just procedurally,
okay.
I'm looking. Yeah.
Can you help the office draft that? Correspondence to the property owner?
Yeah, actually, I think Kelly made it pretty clear.
It's on the driveway permit.
It's right in it. Kelly typed it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. I saw the email from Kelly, but I didn't realize it was already incorporated into the driveway permit application.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think that she needs to be notified before, because this isn't actually her permit, her application now, it's mine. So she needs to accept this and give it to us.
Right. So this is now the requirement to move forward. If she agrees to that, she's going to have to reach out to her contractor, because this is a new requirement based on his performance, and he's going to have to install this new grate in the driveway.
Okay.
So.
And at least she did identify the paving contractor, which I think last week or the week before we were unsure of who she was going to be working with.
Yep. So I'll sit with Donna and Lynn after the meeting. We'll just come up with a simple email. We will forward Kelly's requirements for this driveway to her. That will initiate her activity getting a new quote from her driveway contractor, and then we'll be complete. Okay?
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
I don't care about the quote from the contractor. I just need it clear that this
That it's required.
Whether she proceeds or not, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Perfect. I think you get a couple more.
Okay. Okay. So are we approving? Is this waiting for the signature item?
We might as well do it now with the driveway permits.
Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Where are the rest of them?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We have a number.
So can we approve this now is my question.
No.
That's what I thought.
No.
Yeah, we can't approve it because she needs to then have, she may reject another quote from her.
Oh.
She may reject what I'm recommending and fight us on it.
Exactly.
It's up to her to accept it or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so this
one. She needs to submit that to us, you know, with a plan.
Yeah. Okay.
With showing a grade and that, you know. But yeah. But my recommendation for me to talk to the contractor before the work is done, I think, is important.
Yeah. So you want that grade to deposit the stormwater into the catch basin, correct?
Yes. But
okay.
They can't turn it the other way because
right.
of the horseshoe driveway.
That's right. Yep. Okay. Okay, next one.
Donna has the application.
Yeah,
which one you want? 44 Appenville, 5 Lakeview.
Just do
okay, 5 Lakeview.
Yeah.
5 Lakeview.
Yep. This is Kathy, you're familiar with this.
Yes, I was going to ask about that since she didn't. I told her that you were up there the other day, and I assume you were talking to the paving contractor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and she's going to. It's going to require basically what you have in your driveway, Kathy. She's going to require a grade also.
No.
Okay.
Five Lakeview is Nicholas and Judy.
Oh,
Burrell.
Okay. Yeah.
Nick and Judy.
That's an after the fact.
Yeah.
That's all. There's nothing wrong with that. That's been done. It's
okay.
Been done correctly.
And the check has been paid?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We're all set. So I'll make a motion that we go ahead and sign this. Approve this driveway application for 5 Lakeview Drive. I'm sorry, you broke up? Okay.
No.
Okay, all
I'll
in favor say aye.
Aye.
Yep. Aye.
Aye.
Okay. You folks can come down and sign out of session, of course, and we'll put that over here. It's all set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now 6 Lakeview.
6 Lakeview is steep terrain. It's wide.
Mm-hmm.
Paving contractor had a few ideas. I didn't like any of them. They would interfere with our road. I said that the only way is to do the grade. Nobody likes the grade, but it's the only functioning thing that can work in a situation like that. I didn't measure how wide her driveway is now, but it seems pretty wide. We have a 20-foot restriction. So
mm-hmm.
in my recommendation is to install a grate and keep the driveway at 20 feet. And if they want it wider than 20 feet, we can approve that, but she has to submit the application stating that.
Okay. Paula and Kathy, you understand this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, her driveway, it's short, and then it really flares out quite wide at the opening.
Right.
And there's a lot of drainage issues there, too. So I don't know if paving is going to help our road or not. It's probably going to make it worse, I would think.
It is, but she has every right to pave her driveway, and we just have to do everything we can to lessen the effect.
Right.
Yeah.
There's always going to be runoff in front of her driveway. A driveway culvert doesn't help the situation because there's no ditch above her driveway because there's no road.
Right.
So
exactly.
I the grate's the only thing that will lessen the effect, I guess.
Hmm.
Okay. So I'll make a motion to approve this driveway permit with the recommendations from our DPW crew. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Just signing it here. Okay. There's another one. Okay, number 44 Appenville Way. John and Diane Rozek.
Just a second.
That's what I was confused.
Yeah, you talked to me about it.
This I'm confused about. Is this a second additional driveway to the property?
Oh, 47. Okay, all right.
44, Effenville Way.
This is a, what he's basically doing is putting a little parking spot for his camper or miscellaneous things. He doesn't have room in his driveway. The driveway entrance is actually on Salins,
yeah. The new one, right?
The new one is on Salins.
Okay.
And he's pretty much just putting a little tuck-away spot to put his pop-up camper and building a path through the woods to his house, which doesn't affect us.
Right.
The entrance is fine. It's downhill. It's not going to deal with the road at all. And he's eligible for a second entrance, so.
Yeah. So I'm just looking, is the corner lot at the corner of Appenvale and Salins, and this new proposed driveway is on Salins, and it is approximately 100 feet from the intersection, so that's compliant. He's 55 feet from the other boundary line, that's compliant. I know the slope of that, Salins is a downsloping to Appenvale, so I don't think there's any issues there. There's some pretty large culverts in that area, too. I will make a motion. No, it's Kelly's recommendation is that no culvert is needed on Salins. So I'll make a motion that we approve this driveway permit for number 44 Appenvale Way. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Kathy, Paula?
He's not paving it. He's keeping it gravel. He's going to make it gravel.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Yeah.
Okay. Aye as well. There's another one. And we get another one. This is number 62, Burn Drive. This is Bruce and Jean Snow. This is a pavement of an existing driveway. Kelly, go ahead.
It's flat. There's no drainage issue. It's small. And it's been done. So, hopefully it was done properly. So, this is another after the fact. Still trying to get the word out that people have to do this first, but...
Do you know the contractor?
Yep.
Okay.
He actually talked to me. He was doing an adjacent driveway down the road a little bit. And I looked at it ahead of time and said that he was okay to go. So...
Oh. Wait a minute. Which 62? No, I don't know this one. Okay.
That's the small little camp where
yeah.
He cut the clearing in the back.
Okay, got it. All right. Okay, so I'll make a motion that we approve, after the fact, the pavement of an existing drive. That's right. Am I saying that right? Existing drive?
Yep.
For number 62, Burn Drive. Do I have a second to that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. There you go. All right. What else you got? I think you got some good news.
Good news?
Deuces.
I'm gonna have to look on another. I thought we talked about that last week.
You talked about. Did we get it done last week? Though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, done. Waiting for the rain.
Okay.
Yeah. That went fine.
Yeah, I think you said, Kelly, you weren't able to go as large of a diameter because you were hitting ledge.
No, this is the Thusis culvert where we had to tie into an existing culvert that travels underneath the homeowner's property.
Okay.
So we had to use the existing size pipe to attach to.
To match it up. Okay.
To match it up, exactly. So we had to use the same diameter pipe.
And Kelly, I know you showed me some photographs. Can you describe the condition of the culvert when you unearthed it under Idlewise Drive?
It had sealed. I don't know how it was passed. I think the only thing that saved it was the slope it was on that kept water. It was actually humped in the center where the center of the pipe was higher than the inlet, so the water had to travel up and kind of like a roller coaster. So it came out in pieces. It was a typical pre-existing 30-year-old pipe.
So there was no bottom to it, and some places no top?
Yeah, it was junk. And the tie-in that tied from steel to plastic wasn't functioning. It was cracked open. So it was a good fix.
It was a time.
Even if we call this a temporary fix, it's a good temporary fix because ideally we'd love to have a larger pipe. We'd love to do it a different way, but for many reasons we couldn't get that done at this time. So something had to be done.
My opinion is that we got lucky because the pictures that were shown to me were that there was very little metal pulled out of this trench, and that the trench itself, made of dirt, was the only thing that was holding the road together pretty much. So I know we called this last year and as identified as a potential hazard, and we had to wait till this year, but we got lucky. And so I just wanted to point that out. Okay, Kelly had to take a call, so he's just stepped outside for just a moment. So I'm going to jump to administration, and I don't think we have any approval of minutes this week, right?
No, I just finished them last night. I'll forward to them, and but they're done.
But I want to jump real quick to your lead and copper status. Lynn, do you want to?
Yes, we contacted 10 of the people, the addresses that you gave us.
Yep.
And so far, the only responses were from Dinah and from Bruce Snow, who said he was not going to be there, but his outside closets were off.
Okay.
Those are the only replies we did receive.
Okay. All right. So we're still working on that, and that is important. We'll get into that in just a moment with another letter that we received yesterday. Kelly, you all set? Or are you?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll swing right back to Kelly, get him the mic.
We did the second calcium application in Rock House. Hopefully we can get that invoice out and get that paid for that.
Okay, if you give me numbers, I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That'll be great.
I'll give you that today.
Okay.
Let's go to Body 3 Aspen. We received a letter from a homeowner there that's
yes.
hoping to get some help with drainage in front of his driveway.
Mm-hmm.
His thought was, since they were going to be doing paving up there, maybe it's a good time to do that. I don't see any way we can do anything there. They put the water main pretty much right in front of his driveway.
Yeah.
So that doesn't give us any leeway to put a driveway culvert. And even to put it, it's sitting on a ledge, so I'd be afraid to even attempt putting a driveway culvert. He's just in a bad spot. I have no solution for it. I don't know how you want to proceed with talking to this gentleman. He's a nice guy. He seems to just want to do something about it, thinking we have the opportunity. To do anything, it'd be a big job.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it would take, really.
Now, I drove the area yesterday, wanted to get another perspective, and you're right. So the culvert would be right beside the trench that was dug for the new water line. And then that would basically give the possibility that the frost would get down to that pipe. And that's not a good thing.
And I think that's where they had ledge problems, right in that area.
Yeah.
I don't think, even digging, I think it'd be a waste of time.
Yeah. But
I know the gentleman came to the office first.
Yeah.
And I asked him to send the email.
Right.
He wanted to meet with you. Mm-hmm. He's willing to talk to you, so mm-hmm. I don't know if that's something to go forward. He was, like I said, the email came because I asked him so I could forward it to everybody.
He's got problems with getting his driveway plowed because of the way the plow guy has to get in there and get out because it's downhill. And I don't know that a pipe would help him. I don't think it would. He said there's like the water travels in a swale now at the end of his driveway.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to eliminate the swale by putting a pipe in. I think his plow guy is just going to have to figure it out. I mean, I don't have a. It's nothing that's going to help us. It'd be helping the homeowner. if something could be done, but it'd be quite a project. Not something we could do.
So my question is, with that pay, so the pay on Aspen, Bristenstock, that area, the road is paved, and there are these very nice paved swales which direct the stormwater down a paved ditch. And unfortunately, in this area, the paved swale starts in his driveway. So he has to go through this dip to get into his driveway, and I think that's what his plow guy is encountering, is that dip, which may always have running water in it. And, of course, during the wintertime, that will freeze the solid ice.
Yep.
So let me ask the question, when we go ahead and repave this area or patch this area after this construction, is there a possibility of maybe not flattening out, but creating less of a swale? Well, you know, we still have to the water's still going to flow across there, right?
Yeah. The only way it would be fill the swale in, and that would force the water down his driveway. If he
right.
was happy with that, I don't see why he would be. I can talk to him about that and see.
I mean, could he put a grate, Jay, could he put a grate of some sort across the swale, the width of his driveway?
No, well. Boy,
like
I don't
those
know.
Heavy metal grates that you like ones you put on your deck, those really heavy metal grates.
Yeah, what if we put a
not the water that's running across his driveway, it's the water that's running down the side of the road.
Yeah.
It's actually a ditch line is what it is.
Yeah, it's a swale. That runs right across the mouth of his driveway. And
right,
when that has water melting
over it.
Yeah, melting
right.
snow every day when the sun shines and then it freezes at night. Even him just backing out of his driveway, his tires are going to hit that and slide to the side.
Right. But if there was a grate there, you know, the water and ice would be below the grate, and it wouldn't interfere with that, but he would be above it.
There's so much water that travels down that side of that road that it would have to travel under his driveway.
Yeah.
Because the grate was in the driveway, too.
Yeah. That'd have to be a huge grate.
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
Do you want to talk with him?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll have Kelly talk with him. Can we reach out to him by email and just ask for
his number?
Yeah. Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's in the email.
Set up by phone, and if there's a physical visit required, then you guys can set up an appointment. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that was a tough – I looked at it, and I'm like, I have no idea. He's in a tough spot, that's all. Okay?
Before we get any further, I have a Fern Drive – which is actually 8 Idlewise Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking with the contractor trying to get the work done, I guess what's holding a driveway permit up is not having the proper address on the DEF application, DEF permit. It's Briggs Engineering that headed this up. They did the design. They seem to feel that because we have the tax map and lot number on the application that shows the address, that's sufficient. His understanding is that 911 is assigned after the construction. That's what he found out. So that's not an interference. They want to have the driveway on Burn, which I don't see why there'd be a problem, because you can have a driveway on either road. To stop holding this construction up, we can either call Briggs, which he may answer the phone and make sure that he has his information correct, or we can go off the tax map and lot number as the physical address until the actual address is... As far as DES is concerned, it was okay, because that's how they found the lot to do what they had to do. They went by the tax map and lot number.
So I go back to that 911 again.
He said the 911 is they do that after the construction is complete.
Okay.
Or whatever, maybe the construction permit, I don't know, the building permit. But he said that it's... They just called it Burn Drive because the number hasn't been assigned yet. I don't know.
No, it is 8 Idlewise Drive.
It is 8 Idlewise
Drive. That house
is
8 Idlewise Drive.
And it can't become anything on burn drive because all the numbers are taken.
But even still, they can put their driveway on burn drive.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's,
they
that's
can have one on Idlewise and burn drive. They can have a horseshoe driveway. They can do any of that. So just holding the driveway up because of this, I don't know if we can do that.
Yeah.
Is the address you're using on burn drive assigned to another house already?
No, because it's a lot number. It's an actual existing lot.
So there is no street number address on burn drive.
Right. And, Jay, I looked on the Madison tax maps under the assessor files, and there's no one or two burn drive currently.
Right.
So
that's our land. We own the.
Yeah, we own.
We own one and two and three, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, so I don't think one or two has been assigned to any lot. So it's not like the lot after him has got the number one or two.
No, but I think if we sold our lands, they'd be assigned one, two, and I think that's how they broke it up.
Yeah.
I think they saved those numbers just in case, they kind of do that.
Okay.
But he doesn't mind keeping Idlewise Drive as the address. I mean, I don't think we have to even change his address to do the driveway permit. The driveway permit's for the lot.
Right, so we would list the address as 8 Idlewise Drive with a driveway entrance on Burn Drive.
Right.
So, we do have the lot map number. So I guess I don't really see a problem. It's obviously a clerical mistake that there was no number given to Burn Drive, but there is no number on Burn Drive for that lot. So now technically when you go and file that in this cabinet back here, it goes under the map and lot number, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
This is an application for construction. Remember, this isn't the final application.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We can put a stipulation on the construction permit that we need clarification for the, because he can't sell the house, he can't do anything until he has that final driveway permit in place.
Yeah. Okay.
This is an application for construction.
All right. So it is.
Either way, it's up to you guys.
Yeah.
So he hasn't applied yet for the driveway permit? Or
yes, that's what.
Oh, that's
I was
what
waiting
you got.
For that.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
I was just going by what, I looked for the, previous applications to make sure I had everything that I needed.
Okay. Can we make those notes in the permit for construction that your physical legal address is 8 Idlewise Drive, you're constructing your driveway on the Burn Drive side of your property? And I'll make a motion that we approve this driveway permit application for construction.
No, you have to inspect it first, right?
I thought he already did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. So I'll have to type it out. As I
now, another question comes down to what you brought up, the check. We feel comfortable?
Oh, it's a temporary check. I'll just call the bank and make sure there's funds in it.
Yeah, if you could do that. Okay. So I'll make that motion that we approve the driveway for construction permit for 8 Idlewise Drive, which will egress onto Burn Drive. I just want to make
sure
you get all
that. I'll second that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm just waiting for Donna to finish. That was a long sentence.
Yeah.
I'm good at long sentences.
Yeah, we're going to cut those down, my friend.
All right. So Kathy seconded.
Yep.
And do we have any further discussion? Okay, great. And all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay.
Lastly, I did a lot of research and I happened to come across a trapper that advertises live trapping of beavers. He has not gotten back to me yet. That's the avenue I'm going to explore first before I do anything else. So I would expect a phone call back from him in the next couple days. And if that's possible, we'll go that route. So I don't have a cost yet on that. I'll get a cost either way. But he advertises it. He's through Fish and Game. Doesn't work at Fish and Game, but he has a trapping permit with them. So I'm still working on that, but I thought that would be a better way to go,
okay,
if possible. If possible.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's just information.
All right.
And that's all I got today.
All right. All right, just want to make sure we get everything for DPW. Good. All right. Do we have Chris on the line?
Not yet.
Okay, so.
Well, before we get Chris, I did have one more thing.
Go ahead.
Two quick things. I met with a tree brush cutting contractor. He does the roadside mowing and cutting for surrounding towns. I drove the roads with him, gave him a look at it and get an idea. We used to, back before my time, have an annual budget to do this cutting. We're quite overgrown. It's beyond what we can keep up with. We just looked at the right side of Idlewise. That's where our worst roads are. And he said it'd be upwards of $7,000. He said a lot of people will just keep a budget every year, and then he'll come in every year and do what he can do within that budget. And once you get caught up with it, and he said it's a much easier, much quicker job to maintain. He said we're past that curve right now, so it's going to take a little bit more work. I can't see hopscotching around and doing this, that on the other side of the mountain. I'd like to do an area. We can do it however you want to do it, but so. Seems like the roads on the right side of Burn are worst. We can give this is something for a Warren article. This is something I'm just throwing out there so you guys are thinking about it for next year. If we can get on a cycle of, even if it's 5,000 or whatever it takes to do a yearly cut until we get, it may take 2 years, may take three, to get to the point where it's maintenance again. I'm just letting you know what I'm kind of working on with this guy. He's really good. He comes highly recommended. So I'll give you that when it comes warrant time. Just so when people see trees hanging out, they know that it is on my agenda to take care of this. The second thing is I met with Bryant Paving one more time. I'm working on, and I'm going to need approval from you guys to get the second half of Aspen, the steep hill of Aspen paved. He looked at it, he did some measurements. What he's willing to do is our tonnage charge that he's charging us for the work he's going to do, he would extend that. $95 a ton, which is a really good price. He said if we give him a number on what we want to expend, he'll go up to that number, however far he can get. But he thinks from the top of Aspen down to as far as we need to get would be upwards of $14,000. Our asphalt budget, I believe, was still pretty much intact at $17,000.
Yeah, we've got zero expended to that at this point.
Typically, we'd be doing shimming ourselves. I don't see us getting to that this year. With my hand and vacations still for people to take and some couple big projects still to finish, I'd like to have them come in and do that hill at least. It is another hill that did get tore up to put water pipe in. It's in really bad shape. It's in really bad shape to plow. If we can get that done, that would really help complete that whole project even further. They're going to be here anyway. So for the money, we still have money left for Idlewise Drive.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a warrant. There's $5,000 there. I don't know if there's a way to incorporate that and really get some things done with this paving company while we have them here.
So we would definitely have to, that $5,000 would absolutely have to be on Idlewise Drive.
I don't.
Not necessarily.
That's up to you guys.
I know.
There's an awful lot of discussion about that at the annual meeting.
But the way I understand it, and you can actually divert monies from a specific warrant article to another need if something happened during the year which created the need. And in this case, so I just want to reach out to Kelly. And so, Kelly, this portion of Aspen that you're talking about, is it the steep section from that intersection, Bristnestock, Aspen, and then it comes straight down to Appenvale?
No, or that's getting done.
That is getting done. Ride. Okay, so it's the other side.
Yes.
Okay, so now let me just jump out. So we did have an incident there. We had the water leak.
Yes.
And that water, that patch has not been patched.
And there's a lot of other patching to do.
Well,
they did a water for that house up the hill.
Yep.
Cut across there.
Yep.
And we shimmed it last year just to hold it together, but it's a tough hill for us to shim. It's too steep.
Yeah. So I drove that yesterday and recognized, wait a minute, we haven't patched the water main break that happened here. And obviously the money's got to come from somewhere.
That would come from water.
Yeah, exactly.
But
it hasn't yet. And so I'm thinking the way to do that right now, if you recall, that water leak existed for several months. And it really did some damage to that road underneath. So I want everybody to think about this because it might behoove us, and I don't know if we actually need the $5,000 from that Warren article, but we may have enough money here in the 17.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, to go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Right, and if they could even take $5,000 of it and apply it to water, we still have $24,000 in repairs under the water system available.
Yeah. Yeah, because that paving patch for that water main break should have come out of water anyhow. So, all right. So
we can prorate it fairly.
Can you just describe which section of the road you're talking about? Where on Aspen is this? It's down on the...
Yeah, so if you go up, Paula, if you go up if you go up Jungfrau,
you
go to the very end,
yep.
You'll bump into Aspen.
Aspen, yep.
It actually starts down at the intersection of Gretchen and
yeah,
Aspen.
Yeah. I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and then you start driving up that hill, and it's that section that comes down at the very top of the pavement. Number 24 Aspen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where they did the trench to connect the new water line at 24 Aspen. It's there on down. Actually, a little bit
down
further
towards
up above.
Gratian. You're saying down towards Gratian?
Yes.
Okay, so between Jungfrau and Gratian? Kind of?
Well, No.
Let me help this. If you if you're going up to the Rhinac tank, if you're going up the steep hill towards Rhinac, Aspen, and you instead of going to the Rhinac tank, you go to the right. It turns to gravel.
Yep.
That's what we call upper Aspen.
Yep.
Okay.
And you follow that all the way to the end, then you hit the hill.
Yeah, then you start to hit the pavement. It's that downslope. It's very steep, and then it curves down around number 20 and number 18.
Okay, I'll drive up there again. I was up there the other day on foot, but I don't think I went all that far. I didn't keep going. Okay.
All right, you did it perfectly.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, please take a look at that.
Next time I'll drive.
Oh, you learned your lesson.
No. It's one of those things where I kept going, and they're like, let's just go a little further. I know exactly what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful lookout right up there. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
There is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Oh.
I thought that was a different road. I thought that was part of Bristnestock or something. I don't know what I thought. Okay. All right.
So my thought is to have this overlaid from the top of the hill down to the entrance of Jungfrau. That would complete that whole section nicely.
Yep.
He thought between, and it's by the ton, so he doesn't know what tonnage it'll back exactly be, but he's thinking around 15,000 to 16,000 total. That would leave us enough asphalt to do our patching and small things that we need to maintain. The $5,000 for Idlewise Drive, I can't see putting that on Idlewise if the consensus is they're going to reclaim that in 2 years. It doesn't need it really right now, but a few patches, so whether we just save it and don't spend it or if there's a way to use it somewhere else, that's up to you guys.
Yeah, Idlewise Drive seems to be holding up pretty good this summer. I don't know what the winter spring is going to bring. But to Kelly's point, if we're going to tear this up in 2 years with the asset management plan, I don't see a real reason to go ahead and throw $5,000 down on the ground and then chew it up 2 years later. What you did a couple of years ago seems to be holding up.
The only thing I would say is, I mean, when do we need to make this decision by, Kelly? When do you need to know to have a decision to go ahead and do it?
No later than next week because we're looking at the last week to pave, so I want to give them a heads up so they can add another day or two onto their project.
Okay. So I think the only other thing, only thought I have is we really need to look at the budget. Even though we haven't spent any money on asphalt, there might be areas that we're over in where we're going to need money. So we just have to be really careful about that. We are over in a couple areas where we're going to have to move some money. So before we commit to spending all the asphalt money on this, we should confirm that. Okay. That was my only thought.
Good point. Could everybody just, please take a look at these numbers, as Paula just mentioned, that detail in the budget, and then also look at the roads. And we'll talk about this and hopefully be able to pull the trigger next week.
Yep.
Okay. Great.
That's really it.
Okay, that's really it?
You sure? Okay.
Do we have Chris on the line?
We did, but he lost.
Oh.
So he must have gotten another call or something.
Okay.
Move along.
Okay, so I'm going to jump to the administration. Lynn and Donna, what you got?
We had a lot doing. We got a lot caught up. Just day-to-day stuff other than that.
Yeah.
The only thing I definitely need clarification on is I need to know what Class 6 roads we have in the district, and I don't know where to find that.
Did you see that list that you had here in the stack that I pulled? Hang on. It's a one-pager. There it is.
Okay. So these are all our Class 6 roads?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. That's good to – I'll make coffee and put it on the thing. The other thing is just the outstanding water bills.
Oh, yeah.
There's there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 if we're questioning liens for.
Yep.
So but right now, there's that's all I could come up with. We had a couple of new water hookups that I did. I billed 59 Idlewights, and we have two other new ones. One other new one that still owes, but other than that the rest is all just outstanding. It's probably about most of them are under the 550.
We're looking at about $10,000-$11,000 worth of six people. There's a three right there.
That one's the town owns. That's a write off.
Oh,
that has to. That's the one that if we get anything when they sell the land, there's only what was it, Kathy? $1,000-something.
Yeah,
$12,000
maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Donna,
would
you like me to draft a letter that we would send out certified mail to those folks that we would potentially continue with a small claims court action against to give them the opportunity to pay before we take that next step?
I think that'd be appropriate.
Yep. See, I don't want to just send a small claims court filing to them as the initial correspondence, even though they know they owe the water bill. At least give them 30 days to pay up before we take the next step to go to small claims court.
Beautiful.
Okay, so I will draft that letter.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay. Yep. All right.
What other good stuff do you have?
Nothing. We just have to approve payroll if you want to do that.
Okay.
And the manifest.
All righty.
Okay.
Which one do you want to do first?
Payroll.
Get these guys paid.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoop.
That was the Beaver guy. That's why I didn't take that.
Oh, okay. Whoop.
$250 to set up, $75 per animal to live trap.
75, so looking at 5 times 75.
Could be.
Okay. Let's hope he gets them all.
And he also has ideas on, he's got this beaver deceiver plan that he uses sometimes to put in a pipe or different ideas so it doesn't keep happening.
Yep.
And I can talk about that, but first we're going to relocate what we have.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get it approved. That's why I did it right now during the meeting, so we can either approve it or not approve it, but we got a problem.
Yeah. How many times have you been out there so far to unplug it?
We've done it 3 times, but right now it's exceeding. We need to do it.
Yeah. Which one of you visited the site? Somebody said that they were at the site this weekend, and said it's clogged again.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we I'm sorry. Okay. Thank you. I'll make a motion that we appropriate up to $700 to have the beavers trapped.
I'll second that.
Yeah, where's it coming from?
This will come out of the road budget somewhere?
Yeah, it'll probably come buildings. I would say buildings and grounds.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because, let's see what we got here.
I'm just looking at the budget. Hold on.
That's kind of
the grounds. We don't have much left, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, and we don't spend anything in that category during the winter.
Right.
So, Kelly, what you're saying is when he live traps them, most trappers kill them. You're saying he doesn't do that. He'll relocate them?
Correct. It's a lot more work. Yeah. It's a lot more work to live trap. So that's why he's not a lot more than what the other trappers are charging. But, he relocates.
Okay.
All right. So motion's on the floor. I believe I have a second from Kathy. Do any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Great.
Good timing.
That's it.
All right. Are you sure? All right. And I think Donna and Lynn, you don't have anything else? Oh, I'm sorry. We're at manifest. Yeah, payroll.
There were some other things under admin on the thing. Madison TV, date for meeting. Lead and copper testing status. We should be following that. I just want to make sure we don't miss anything on the agenda.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Madison TV. Today we decided we would make that decision and get back to Noreen Downs. I'm sitting here in the office, and we're as socially distanced as best can be, which if I got out a tape measure, we'd probably all fail. So if we add Tim, I think we could put him over there, which is where he usually sits, far enough away from Kelly to be able to videotape. And I'm going to put it out to the people here in the office, because each one of you may have concerns or situations that may bring a concern to your own family or yourselves. So I'll open it up for discussion.
As long as, you know, masks are worn, for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he wouldn't put himself in.
True.
I don't think.
I'll go. Lynn, how do you feel?
I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I have no problem because I'm going to be furthest away. Now, I'll be honest with you, that limits.
That's it.
That's the limit.
Yeah.
So there will be no other ability to physically have someone here. Now, if someone does request to physically come to the office and present something physically to us, that can be made, that can be arranged, and one of us can opt to step out of the office to allow that individual to make themselves present. So do we all understand that?
I just have
that?
A couple thoughts. Have you guys restricted any use of the restroom in the office? I mean, how's that been working? I don't know. I haven't used it when I've only been in there briefly, but I mean, that would be my only question, is that you then have someone else using
the facilities.
Well,
the start of COVID, we didn't have a bathroom, so I'm just going to leave that out there.
It's up to you guys if you're comfortable with it. I just want to be very clear. Like, that's one area, like in my house, people do not use my bathrooms unless
I do.
Here.
I do wipe it down with bleach. on a regular basis also. So
it's up to you guys. I'm just telling you that with another person.
Thank you, caller. I appreciate it. Yep.
You guys decide what you're comfortable with. The only other question I have is why not move the meetings then to the town hall? I know you guys have this issue with having your computers there. That would be the only other suggestion would be, I mean, at a certain point, we shouldn't be having two people, two administrators in the meeting once Lynn has been, you know, fully trained and whatnot. Mm. So, I mean, that's the other part of it. Right now, this is all fine. But at a certain point, we shouldn't. You don't need to have two people there. So it's just something else to keep in mind. I mean, at the same time, I mean, Kathy and I then are going to continue to be remote. If that's okay. I don't know how that's going to
happen. Paula, I think that's exactly what we talked about 2 weeks ago was once Lynn was comfortable with the minutes, then we could let Donna stay in the office. That way the office is open when even to receive phone calls. And then Lynn could meet us at the town hall and do the minutes from there.
Okay.
So do we want to put a time frame? Is a month or 2 months? Do you think you might be up to speed to be able to make that break?
I told Bonnie this morning that I want to try next week to do them.
Okay.
But I still want her to monitor them and make sure I'm not missing too much critical information.
Okay. Do we want to take a look at the end of September or the beginning of October as the – just to review this again and see if we're ready to go?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So but are you going to – it sounds like you guys are saying you are comfortable having Tim in there filming starting immediately, or is that now – is that now you're changing your mind about it? I'm confused by what we're reviewing.
Yeah.
I think what they're discussing is to move it up to the town hall.
Yeah.
So right now you're going to start having Tim come back starting next week.
Now, Tim could be here next week at this office. But once we become comfortable with going to the town hall, which looks like the first week of October is what we will take a look. We'll take a look at that time and then decide whether at that point.
Okay.
So I'll make that motion. Yeah, I'll make that motion that we respond back to Noreen Downs, that we invite Tim Hughes and Madison TV, or Madison TV, I'm not sure if it's going to be Tim, back to our weekly meeting. To videotape starting next Thursday?
Yep. I'll second that.
Okay.
Beautiful. All right. Any further discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Who seconds it?
Paula did.
Okay.
And then I would just clarify, I should have put this in discussion, but one, we won't need to audio tape at that point then either.
That would be true.
Nope. Yep.
True.
Okay.
Do I have to reach out to the town hall to see if the Thursday's available?
Yeah, Noreen did indicate that they were, but we should do that on our own.
Okay, so I reach out to the town hall.
Yeah, please. Okay.
Starting the...
next week. The first week of October.
Yeah.
October 1st meeting is a Thursday.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So,
hello, Chris.
Yep. Good morning. I'm here.
He's
there.
Yeah.
Oh, we thought we lost you, Chris.
We did.
Somebody said you fell into the tank.
I fell out. I went swimming.
Yeah. It's a good day to do that. Okay, Chris, we're going to swing right over to you. Is that okay if we break from the administration?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, go ahead, because I know you're a busy guy.
Yeah, I'm on a Zoom call right now with New Hampshire Water Works, so I appreciate it.
Okay.
So I sent you an email this morning, but we did the leak test while you were out there the other day, Jay, and then I met another fellow from DN Tanks. We took measurements on the tank at water elevation, and he came back yesterday, took another measurement. So no leak, tank in great shape. So that was the email I sent out to everybody this morning. In the next couple of days or today, tomorrow, I'll be writing up the substantial completion documents. I did get the final, the final pay rec from DN Tanks. So they'll be substantially complete with a 2% retainage to kind of work them out of the picture with warranty, a 1-year warranty. It also opens up now that Johnson Excavation we'll begin next week bringing the fill around the tank and restoring that site, part of their spec is they have to take all the concrete rubble off site that's left over from the tank project. So next week you'll see a lot of work going on now that we've got one contractor out and the other contractor in. They'll be working on the electrical, mechanical, and the backfill on the tanks. I did get another pay rec for August from Dawson's also, so I'll be processing them in the next couple of days and get those over to you. And I think somebody had a question about the disbursement where I was $108,000. I didn't want to argue with Rick Skoranke. He's got about a $6,000 difference. I've got to go back item by item and see why he's got more money. But he's giving us $108,000. I think the first one we did was $103,000. So we've got an extra $5,000 or $6,000 in there. I've got to find out where that fuzzy math is that we're missing somewhere.
Chris, I looked at the Dawson bill, the DN Tank bill, and then a Jones and Beach bill, and did the math, and it came up to that 103. So I didn't know if you had added another invoice to that or not.
No, that was Rick Skoranke. I got to go back to his math. Him and I argued about it, but I don't want to really argue with Rick Skoranke, of course. So yeah. I just let it go, and so he's got an extra $6,000 for us. I do have to find out. I got to start balancing some numbers and find out why his number was $6,000 and change more than mine, than ours, than your and I's.
I
wanted to get you the money. I didn't want to argue with him on a million-dollar project. I'm not going to start arguing about $6,000 if he wants to give me $6,000 extra.
I thought maybe you would include the Bryant paving part in that, but that didn't add up either.
No, it's the Bryant paving and all the Jones and Beach contracts are strictly that, they're contracts. So before I can give an invoice to anybody, I need to give a signed contract first. There's kind of a paper trail at the state level. The contract's in the folder, and then the invoice kind of follows behind it. So when I do September's groundwater trust disbursement, it'll include the Jones and Beach invoices. So when Bryant Paving actually does the paving at the end of September, we'll actually include that invoice in October for the money.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was odd that we thought it was Bryant Paving, but they haven't even done the work yet, so we couldn't have.
They pay based on work completed, of course, but they need the backup material in the folder that there was a signed contract. And then again, they'll need some kind of memo from we talked with Kelly and the commission last week that I'll need something for his file that, Bryant Paving is the solicited vendor for VDOE. Just for his file because we didn't really do competitive bidding for Bryant, but you did years ago. So there, once you're in the queue, you're fine with that. So he just needs something for his paper trail.
Okay. So Jay, is that something you could provide?
Yeah. Yeah, it's no problem.
Okay.
Just something simple. I wouldn't get too crazy with it, but just something for his file that Bryant Paving is the preferred vendor through a competitive bid process X amount of years ago, however.
Okay. All right.
I might even be up next Thursday, but I'll be up towards the middle end of next week just to see how Dawson's is doing with the site work. And, they're going to start the new panel. They've got all the electrical stuff. So it's next week will be a good milestone week. Again, the key really is we want to get the building, all the electrical work done, and the booster pump station somewhat up and running, so we can get the new Rhinite zone, pressurized, disinfected, and then Dawson would do their trench paving, and then Bryant Paving would be right behind them.
Okay.
In essence of this project, we're still looking at, the end of September, we should be done, except for any type of minor punch list items.
Okay. Chris, I have a I'm sorry, Chris, anything else?
No, you know, we still got to look at the Lakeview, you know, pressure zone as far as where we want to put those. So that's not, that's still out there.
Okay. And let me just ask while on that subject, are we looking at getting that work done this year?
Yeah. Yeah. Putting those pits in is not a, that's not a time, that's not a big, big project. But yeah, it'd be done this year. I mean, if I mean, the way we wrote the grant, remember, we added that extra time. So if it did have to come back next spring, but I don't think any of the, all those roads that we're dealing with are all gravel, I believe, right?
That's right.
So there's not like a, there's a paving time frame that's behind us. And those, you know, those are kind of a 1 or 2 day, you know, dig and, you know, shut down if you had to, put the thing in, repipe. So those aren't long lead time work, you know, work jobs. Those are just a couple of days for each one.
Okay. And now, you know, I know there's been talk about maybe avoiding the original plan with putting those two pits in and then going with some other maybe less expensive scheme of reconnecting a couple of different zones. Is that still a possibility?
We look at that. There's no, we lose our head pressure by the time we come up the lower section and we get up to the upper section, we're down to like 20 PSI. So we're fighting 20 PSI at one end or 115 the other end.
Okay.
So there's that kind of that gap right there. So I think with, you know, talking with Ian, just looking at it, you know, again, it would be an additional $25,000 cost, which I really have to have a good handle on before I propose that to you guys to actually put two PRV pits on that zone and kind of split that zone off, like, I guess, where your house is, and then the other zone down, and keep and just abandon that pit where it is all together and lower that pressure gradient down the road a little bit so we don't have 115 plus or minus PSI at some of those bottom homes. And then, you know, like I said, kind of split that zone up. And that's something I've got to really look at the hydraulics some more. And it's something where before we even did that, Rich Karenka really wanted a real plan on that, not just a quick change order. So it's a more kind of engineering forethought that has to go on that aspect of it.
Okay, so we're sticking with the original plan. So that's okay. We're talking about the word change order. The only one that I'm aware of was a non-financial impact. That was to move the water line, a new water line, from one side of Aspen Drive to the other because of the amount of ledge on that other side. Is that correct?
Yeah, that wasn't really it wasn't like an official change order. It was just a more of a recommendation to save money in the long run.
Right. Okay. All right. So there was no cost impact to that change order. It was just a change in the design to lessen any impact that we would have incurred if we had stayed on course. Is that right?
Yeah. After doing the ledge probes, we determined where the ledge was. And we had it on one side, and they found between the existing water line and where the ledge was that they can run the new pipe next to the existing water line, which was going to be abandoned after the project. Right. And it got us away from the ledge. So it did a substantial cost savings to you guys. And it was really just a matter of shifting. But it was nothing. Okay. It was more of just a policy change, a design change than a financial change.
Okay. You had also mentioned in the earlier part of your description today that Dawson's is getting ready to backfill up at the tank, around the tank, probably also bringing our road up. Now, we are aware that there is a water service line to that property being developed at number 9. So I'm just curious. I know Ian had not seen the laying of that water main, and I believe he wants to make sure that it was laid properly in a bed of sand, and that it will be, because we currently know it's only about 2.5 feet below grade, that it will be at 6 foot, which is required by our ordinance. So I'd like to make sure that Ian, I guess it makes sense to have him do some test pits to verify that the pipe was laid properly.
Yeah.
Per our criteria, before they go ahead and put another 3.5 feet of fill on top of that road.
Right. It'll be a lot easier doing it that way.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the office if they could just send a note to Ian that Dawson's is planning on covering over that water line to the property at number 9. And if he could, again, copy everybody, Chris and the office, at number 9 with Phil, if he could get in and do his inspection prior to that.
Yep.
And that still is expected to be next week.
Well, I don't know if they're doing that next week, but I know they're doing around the 10th. I'll just make sure that Ian and Jake are on the same page. But, you know, I mean, and a memo from the board wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll send Ian it, and I'll copy Dawson on it.
Yep. Yeah, that way, you know, we're on the same page, transparency.
Yeah.
All right. Just one other thing, Chris, that was brought up by Kelly earlier. He's in contact with a brush cutter. We have in the past had some annual brush cutting done every few years, and so he's negotiating some work to be done. Now, you had pointed out, as you and I were standing on top of the tank, that the Reinhardt cross-country water main, the path for that water main, is becoming overgrown.
Yeah.
And so you're recommending that we schedule that to be maintained.
Yeah, I think it's something you'd probably want to do, probably a high track skid steer with a bush hog in the front.
Yeah.
Would probably be the easiest way. They've got those nice rotary grinders on the front of some of the skid steers.
Yep.
You know, to the high elevation, I think it's something where a skid steer, a high track skid steer, can probably go up and bush hog its way up. I don't know if he can make it down without flipping. That's the thing. So he may have to go up and then come back around again. But, you know, I kind of leave that means and methods to them. But yeah, it's something where you on those cross country lines, you really want to get into like a 5-year utility maintenance program. So you're cutting stuff when it's small saplings and they're not getting the trees where, you know, at that point you have to use a different technique, different type of machinery that costs more money.
Yep. Okay. All right. And just to add to that for economics, we also have Riggy Drive, which is a cross-country water main.
Okay. Yeah, so we have two roads. A 5-year rotation. When you look at, you know, like the PSNH right-of-ways, Eversource right-of-ways, you know, usually they're in there probably, you know, at the most every 5 years. Because once you start getting into 15 and 20-foot, you know, saplings, then you're in a different type of machine. Then you're into the excavator with the Tyrannosaurus with the big arm that's got the chipper on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are
and just one other question. I know, Chris, you had earlier in the project brought out a surveyor, but he could not accomplish his work because of the fog that was in the air that morning. Is that still going to happen so that we know where our road is?
What I want to do is I want to wait till the landscaping is done around the tank site, you know, with the overflow drain and the ramp and the rocks and the gate that we have a gate going in, and there was a little parking area. Once that's all completed and everything's restored, I was going to have him come back then, and then he would shoot all our new gate valves too at the same time, plus the ledge profiles that we did.
Okay, great.
Yeah, that's the more economic way. Because again, once he gets the GPS receiver, it's just a matter of walking around with the rod in his hand. You know, he's taking a shot. So that's getting the actual receiver up and running is 90% of the work, and the rest of it's just kind of walking around with it. Like I said, the survey rod.
Yep. Okay. All right. Anything else, Chris?
No, that's all I had. I think we got through DN tanks, which is great. Again, I'll get you the substantial completion signature documents, and then I'll put together the third disbursement with the two DN tank and Dawson's, and then I'll throw all the other invoices in and see if I can find where that $6,000 is missing or how we gained it.
Yeah. All right. If there's nothing else, I want to move on real quick. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Chris, I met with Brian Paving. You probably got my email that I'm looking to get have the other end of Aspen paved.
Yeah, that was your thought, right? I don't know I guess you ran it through the board and everything.
Yeah, we talked about it today, and we're still working on that, but it's still my plan. So they'd really like Dawson to get his part done sooner than later, so it has a chance to settle.
Yep. No, I understand.
That's coming up on us pretty quick here. That paving job.
I know. Right. I know. It's going to snow any day now, right?
Well, one of the paving companies, they're under the gun, so.
I know. The only thing that Dawson wanted to do is make sure the lines were pressure tested first. So I think let's talk again at the end of next week and see what the progress is of next week. Until we get, then we're going to start getting into kind of a critical path.
I think we're critical, Greg.
Yeah, we're already critical.
I'm looking at the calendar, and next week puts us up. They're coming in the 28th, or
they're coming in the last week of September, Chris. Brian Paving.
Right.
That'll give us a couple weeks to get it done.
Right. Well, he's going to do the trench patching as a day's worth of work. So, right, I understand.
So, Jay, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. So, we had, four requests for service line replacements up there. Have those folks gone forward with that yet?
Nobody's contacted me. That would be through Dawson. You'd have to find out.
They would deal with a contractor of their choice. And it would not affect the paving because it's off to the side of the road and on their property.
The
links and the new curb stop valves have already been put in, so you're right. Okay.
Yeah. So what they're going to do is after the lines are pressure tested and chlorinated, they're going to take the new curb stop and remove the old curb stop and then do that like a 4 or 5 foot tie-in to the old line. So that's the point where, you know, if the homeowner wanted to keep going with it on his own dime, when that would happen. Or if it happens later.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Now, as I was saying that, I realized it didn't affect the paving of the road because those cuts have already been made for the property.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we never received any brand new people. I mean, it's only the existing 19 that have a couple of people asked.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And some of them have just asked what the cost would be. They haven't even requested to have it done, supposedly. I'm only getting second-hand knowledge on it. So.
Okay. All right. But it's outside the scope of worrying about the road.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's kind of outside of my scope, you know, as far as a homeowner. It's more Ian just making sure the means and methods, I guess, however Ian does when, you know, people on private property, whatever your policies are, that it's on, you know, for AWWA standards.
Yep, got it. Okay.
All right. Anything else, Chris or Kelly?
No.
Okay.
All right, thank
Chris,
you.
You're a free agent.
All right. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye now.
Okay. We have 3 minutes. Can we do payroll in 3 minutes? Let's go for it.
No.
All right, I want to make a motion that we approve the payroll manifest for a total of, could you read that off, Donna?
$6,196.55.
Okay, and I'm going to read off the time cards. For the week of 8/28, we have Kelly Robitaille, total of 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 9/4, we have Kelly Robitaille, 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 8/28, Jeff DiMartino, 40 hours. For the week of 9/4, Jeff DiMartino, 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 8/29, we have Tony Eldridge, 24 hours. For the week of 9/4, we have a total of 18 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 9/4, for Donna McKinnon, we have 22 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 8/28, Donna McKinnon, 26.25. And Lynn Baker for the week of 8/28, 16 hours. And for the week of 9/4 for Lynn Baker, we have 15.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
For the week of 8/28, Gina Murphy, a total of 3 hours. Three? Okay, that's right. That, okay, 3 hours. The week of 9-4, we have a total of 2 hours.
3 hours.
Is that?
It's down here.
Oh, so that's one. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
3 hours. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a motion made. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in, any further discussion on payroll? Okay. All in favor of that motion for $6,196.55, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It is 10:15, so we should have Mark Grapham on the call. Mark, are you on the call?
No.
Okay.
Somebody called in.
Who just joined?
Nobody joined. They called and then hung up.
Okay.
I think this is the call right here.
We're getting another call coming in now.
4588. 4528488.
Hello, Idlewise. This is Donna. Hi, Donna. This is Mark Graff from calling.
Yep.
I'm trying to call into 971-224-6602 for the conference.
Yep, you called
in. Not letting me.
Oh. Did you enter the code? But you can, we can, you're on a speakerphone here, Mark. And you will be recorded also on the phone video call.
Audio call.
Audio call, excuse me.
So, Mark, it's 10:15 or 16, so go ahead. You got the mic?
Yeah. Two items I'd like to talk about. I sent an email regarding the free conference call system that the village is using for these meetings. It is the same conference call system that the Regional New Hampshire uses. And they get emails after the meeting is over telling them the link, which they send out to everyone that participated in the meeting. And I asked for copies of those emails to the village, and I'm wondering if someone just signed that part and they're getting the emails and the office isn't getting them, or what can be said about that? Did you sign up for the service, Jay?
I don't believe we got that service that gives us an email recording what the elapsed time was of our meetings. Do we not?
I don't get any emails from pre-conference calling. We can download the audio part of it, which is on our...
Have we seen that in the setup of the conference calling, that we have the ability to get or receive an email of the duration?
I haven't, but we can look into it.
Yeah. So I just want to inform Mark. Mark, we made some decisions today to allow Madison TV, at their request, to come back into the office starting next week to videotape our meetings, which will be the maximum number of people in this office that will hopefully be socially distanced. And then we also talked about looking at the first week of October of moving our physical meetings to the Madison Town Hall so that we can have people physically present if they decide to come to our meetings. And they will also be videotaped through the Madison TV program.
That's great. But what I'm looking for is the link so that I can download these recordings that since the time I had to buy and then bring flash drive, thumb drive to the office. See, this is all unnecessary if the links are just given out.
Yeah, when you say...
I'm trying to compress these things and all that. It's just avoiding the transparency of providing the link so that anybody can just listen to it without even having to download it.
So are you saying...
What we're doing with Right to Know New Hampshire.
Yeah, are you saying that the link is actually provided through the conference calling service?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So you have to download it. You have the link to it on their server to download it.
Okay, okay.
And the president of Right to Know says he just automatically started getting these these emails after the meeting was over saying, it gave him the link, he sent it to us. I saw no way that anybody could tamper with the actual recording by getting the link.
Got
it. Listen to it or download it.
Yep, got it.
You can't delete it.
Right. Okay, good point. Okay, we're going to look into that.
So that's the first one. I think you should give those links out so that people don't have to do what I had to do to get the ones I've already recorded. And that was months ago. I'd like to get the links to the other recordings. And this will be negated once Madison TV starts to record.
Okay.
Stop conference calling.
And so we should also publicly post that link so that other people that want to go in and listen to these meetings can do so as well, right?
Right. You can put all the links back to the beginning so that you're transparent.
Exactly. Okay. Got it. And it won't become, those audios will not be coming through the office, but through the conference calling service itself, so they will not be tampered with.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. What else you got?
Secondly, on August 27th, I did a right to know request to engineering change orders for this water project, the Reinach Water Project and all the other ones. My understanding was at the time I asked about it, there was only one engineering change order. I received no notification of any reason for a delay. Even the emergency order said it has to happen within 5 days. It's now November, now September 10th. And I asked for it on August 27th. That's a violation of right to know right now.
So you did not get anything from the office? Because I know Donna was asking me about that, and we actually just discussed that with our engineer, Chris Albert, just minutes ago, because I wanted to confirm that the only engineering change order that we had was the relocation of the new water main on a certain section of Aspen, which moved it to the other side of the street because of the ledge and the incurred cost that we would have had to pay had we not moved that water line. So there was no cost incurred by the change order, but it was what they call a field.
Excuse me, I'm asking you why I didn't receive the engineering change order, not what the engineering change order was.
Yeah.
Why didn't I receive that? Why didn't I get a notification of why it would be delayed in 5 days?
Okay, so Donna's looking that up right now.
Look, Chris, we asked Chris about change orders, and he said that doesn't really qualify as a change order.
It actually was listed as, it's titled as a change order to a design. So, you know, I wanted to make sure we covered everything, even though there was no financial impact to it.
Okay. Because we did ask Chris for change orders, and he did reply, and I believe Donna forwarded that to Mark. We can give you, okay.
Yeah, we're just looking at our emails, Mark, just trying to verify for you.
Do you understand, regardless of whether you have a change order or don't have a change order, even though you told me you did have a change order for that, the fact that you didn't acknowledge to me that I asked Mark in 5 days that why you didn't send it to me, the violation of 91A and the emergency order.
No, I understand that. We're just, because I know Donna is very cognizant of that.
Yeah, I have it checked off that I sent it out to you, Michael. I'm just, the computer's very slow today, and I apologize.
And Mark, give us that date again. That was August 27th?
I didn't hear what you said.
That was August 27th, your request?
You're asking me if it was August 27th, yes.
Okay, the request.
I have the request of the 25th. I have it checked off that I did it. And I...
Because we keep a list of all the 91A requests.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't need to stay in the phone. That's my point.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Mike, but...
Okay.
So let me tell you what I'm looking for here. I'm amazed that this project didn't have a project manager, a clerk of the works. And I know that the house on top of Reinach, the foundation, has a water hookup done, and I saw how shallow that water line went in. And the whole idea of going on the professionalism of all the contractors, I think is completely bizarre that a group of three people elected or appointed bought into the idea that for the first time we did the biggest finance water project ever. For the first time we didn't have our own clerk of the works watching to see what happened. I don't think this pipe went down the 6 feet that the state requires for this area. And I question the work that was done here. I'd like to see all of the documentation by this engineer and all the pictures that prove how this pipe went in. I saw a styrofoam being used. And I think the minutes show, the recording shows that this engineering change order was to avoid a quoted $50,000 expense in plastic. And I'd like to see how this engineering change order was worded. Did they get to follow the old pipe line in step? And why was styrofoam down in that area at the time that this work was being done?
Okay, so you're talking now...
Be transparent.
So now you're talking about Aspen then, right? The engineering change order with Aspen and not Reinhardt?
There's only one engineering change order as of the time that this was discussed that I was listening to the last call I was on.
Okay.
Is there more than one engineering change order?
No, that is all that we have as well. But I want to get back to your questions about number 9, Reinhardt, the foundation that is up there. So we are...
I didn't have a question about that. I just told you that I suspect. I think it's a conflict of interest with the water operator being contracted to work for this contractor that's doing the excavating. I think he is beholden to the person he has this job that's at the end of the project. The fact that this wasn't inspected, that he claims he didn't even know that this connection was being made, that the engineer can't tell you what happened with that water hookup. You don't know whether the water main was extended past where the old main was just to give this guy a water hookup. No money was exchanged, no application was made. And what happened at the end of Biasca? I don't think you know anything about what's going on in this project. So I need transparency on this, and everybody needs to know how you guys are operating. That's the law.
Yep. Yeah. So
I don't need to spend any more time on this call.
Good.
Please send me the engineering change order. If you already sent it to me, make a note of that. I didn't see it. I looked at these things. I read them. I'm looking at the budgets. I have questions about budgeting that's going on here, but I won't take any more of your time or my time right now. That's enough for you to work on. When will I know about the links to the recording?
I'm just
How
looking.
How long will it take you to just look to see the links?
Give it till... When are you guys... Are you coming back on Monday or Tuesday?
Monday,
right.
But I train with Catherine.
Oh, that's right. So Tuesday afternoon, is that okay, Mark?
Tuesday afternoon next week.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Okay. Okay.
All right. Okay, we're moving forward.
I want to move on to...
Yeah.
Donna. So I saw an email where you did reply to Mark.
I did on the 27th.
Yeah.
But I just have the ledge probe. I'm just pulling it up now. This is how slow the computer is today.
Okay. But the information was that we acknowledged his request, and
yeah.
As far as Chris was concerned, there wasn't a physical contract change order. So. But there should be documentation someplace that change did occur, and we'll reach out to Chris and see if we can get that.
Okay.
Okay.
I have Chris's email, but that was never forwarded to Mark, it looks like.
Yeah,
okay.
All right. We can deal with that after. Can we just move on to the manifest?
Okay, sorry, go ahead. Manifest.
All right. So I have a manifest this week for 7 checks totaling $5,301.82. I'm going to read the checks to you. Thank you.
Okay. The first check is to Alvin J. Coleman for $794.33.
Was that materials or?
Yep.
Okay.
The next one is for Coleman Rental for $59.
What'd you rent, Kelly?
No, that would come out of the water project.
Oh.
So that's not Kelly.
Wow. So.
Yeah. So.
Out of the water project?
Well, not the water project. Ian needed parts for something.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
The next bill is our monthly August bill for Eversource for $2,711. The next one is for Jay Buckley. It's for the fire extinguisher for $47.48.
Just for clarity, that basically brings us into compliance with the Department of Labor to have a fire extinguisher 3A40B-C down at the fuel tank in the Idlewise number 2 garage.
The next one is to Napper for $275.52. The next one is our August batch for New Hampshire Retirement for $1,349.24.
Can I just back up on my check? I don't know if I've ever done this before, but can I sign this check as authorized, or do I recuse myself? Kathy and Paula, I'll ask you for your advice.
How many signatures does it require?
There's 3 commissioners' signatures and 1 treasurer on the check.
So Paula and Kathy will come down and sign it.
Yeah, it only requires
2. We'll sign it. We'll come down and sign it. I wouldn't worry about it.
I don't. Okay.
Well, both of us will sign it. Let's keep going.
All right.
Yeah. And then, and our last check is the Verizon bill for $65.25. And that's it.
Okay, I'll make that motion to approve the manifest for 7 checks, $5,301.82. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, I vote yes.
Yes.
I'll vote yes. Aye.
Okay. Hang on, young lady. One more. Here you go.
Thank you.
That one.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to jump right to budget drawdown. Report done by Kathy. Thank you, Kathy.
Don't thank me, Greg.
I know. Good job, Kathy.
Thank you.
All right. Kathy, why don't you go ahead and lead?
I guess the numbers speak for themselves. What we had done historically is always done this report at the end of each month, so it does not include any of the payments made in September. Everything looks pretty in line. I think we have had a extremely fortunate year when it comes to our DPW as far as maintenance and repairs on the equipment. Everything is held up. I think everything all sort of collapsed last year with how much money we had to spend on the equipment. We haven't even spent half the budget yet on equipment maintenance and supplies. Now, granted, I know Kelly's going to need probably blades and chains and edges coming up when he starts outfitting the vehicles for snow plowing. But I think we're in very good shape as far as that side of our budget is concerned. Most of the other stuff at the top part, all the administrative stuff, we really don't have a whole lot of flexibility there as far as payroll and insurance and things of that nature. So loans, it is what it is. Now, one thing I mentioned, Jay, is on the budget, if you look down where it says bonds and interest, and
yes.
I highlighted the 1628 in bold.
Yep.
Okay. So we've had this conversation about the money that was raised in 2019 to make the first year's interest payments on the loan. And that was at $56,400, I believe that
yep.
was the number. So,
yep.
so that money is still in limbo, if you will. I don't know if Tamer put it to the unassigned fund or if it's still available and that's where the payments will be coming from, not from our operating budget. Okay. Sorry for the
yeah.
background noise. So that's why
yeah.
I just wanted to kind of to bring everyone's attention to that money may not necessarily be coming out of our operating budget, even though we're showing it there at this time.
Right.
Well, when will we know that? Are we waiting for a determination from someone? I'm confused by that.
It was kind of it's just an unusual situation where you know the project is delayed.
No, I understand the situation. How is it going to be resolved?
So I don't know if that's a Tamer question. Is that something we should reach out to Tamer on?
To be honest, I think it's actually showing in the audit itself. And I can't comment right now because I don't have that in front of me. But to Paula's question, we should be able to determine through the audit book or report where that money resides now. There's really no decision to be made here on that because money is either in the unassigned fund balance or it's in some other balance.
No. I just wanted to bring that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is hang on one second, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh. Did we lose everybody?
No.
Paul, are you still there?
Yeah.
Yep,
oh.
I'm here.
Somehow Kathy.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, she's back.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, it's spot on where the phone is.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that, folks.
No problem.
I disconnected myself. I was trying to mute the background noise and I disconnected. No, the only reason I put it on there is if someone's looking at this report, it needs to balance to our P&L, so it is in there. But, yes, we need to just determine how to handle that going forward. And, Donna, maybe Catherine can help you with that since she's familiar with audits.
True.
Okay.
Well, that's a big deal. I mean, that's a lot of money that we're going to have to cover if it has to come out of here. So
exactly.
Here's the only question I have, and I went through this line by line last night and really made a lot of notes and percentages.
Okay.
Right now, it looks like we're in good shape, which is great. We're 67% of the way through the year. We're two-thirds of the way through the year. We've spent 64% of our budget. The problem is that this is cash flow. It's not what's been committed for the rest of the year. And what I think we need to do for the end of October, which will be the end of for the end of September, which will be the end of three quarters, and we'll have one quarter left, we really need to go through and then identify what's committed or what's anticipated for the rest of the year. This is
mm-hmm.
where we get in trouble. If we give Kelly that money next week and say, yeah, go ahead and do Aspen and do all the asphalt money because it's there or it looks pretty good, and then we find out that we've got to cover the $56,000 or we have something else, you know, whatever, you know, maybe we can take it out of unassigned fund balance. But I think we have to really anticipate what does the rest of the year look like. I mean, one of the reasons he's so low right now is salt and sand he's hardly spent. You know, he's way below, right? But
yeah.
how much salt and sand does he have sitting in the house in the buildings right now? Does he have enough for November, December? I don't know that. Maybe you guys know. But we really need to understand how much money we need for the rest of the year, how much we anticipate we're going to spend, and then we'll know what we have left. And that to me is either a work session with Kelly or another meeting where we just spend an hour
mm-hmm.
on each line item and we go through and we say, okay, here's where we're anticipating we're going to end up. Like Ron's been kind of sending that thing where he says this is like a warning. We need
yeah.
to do that to me for the whole budget because I, it bothers me at the end of every year when we get there and we're like, well, the bills haven't come in yet. We should know what bills are outstanding right now. We know what we've committed to. And we know we're going to have to pay salaries. We know we're going to have to pay an electric bill. We know we're going to have to pay. Let's mark that in a committed column for fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That we know is not.
Because Yeah. We're looking at through the end of the year, but there are things that we now know that fell into December, like Ian's bill, for instance. You know, Ian's service could be $2,000 and payroll, prorated, health insurance,
all those things. We know what that stuff is going to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
We know all that stuff, and I always call it, I used to keep a committed column, and that stuff you're not going to be able to get out of, okay? But it's the discretionary spending that we need to understand, because that'll decide whether we can go ahead with certain things. And this thing for the paving, it concerns me, because it's a lot of money. And even though we got $17,000, I'm going to drive up there and look at it. I know nothing. I mean, I can look at it. It won't really make a difference, but it'll just help me understand the place at least. But I'm concerned about spending all that asphalt money on Aspen. When we're over by $7,000 or $8,000 on legal.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be covered somewhere. You know, we've spent all of our workers' comp. You know, maybe there's a reason for that. There's a bunch of places.
That's one time. Yeah, it's something like that. That's a one time. That's an annual bill. We pay it once and that's it. So that covers us for 12 months.
So that would be good to know, like, that we're done with that. Mm-hmm. Like, so that if you want to do an hour-long extra meeting or it's a work session and we go line by line.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it would be great to do that and do it for the end of September, which is 3 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
We go through and we go, okay, we're in really good shape for the rest of the year, or here's some issues, you know, because what's going to happen is Kelly's going to walk in November 1st and go, I need sand and salt. We'll be like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, he should be able to tell us now what he thinks he's going to need for the rest of the year for sand and salt, assuming he's going to have a normal November, December. Of course, we can have
one. My budget is what I consider my
spend money.
My spend money. And that's, I kind of go by my budget as to what I purchase. And if my sand says $17,000, I'm expecting to use $17,000. If I don't, which I won't, that's the number I have that I'm on.
I totally appreciate that, Kelly, but we also have to manage the whole thing. And there's going to be times when we're going to have to take some of your budget away from you in fourth quarter if you haven't spent it because we need it somewhere else, if you don't need it. Or if maybe there's a, you know what I mean? I totally hear what you're saying. And as a manager of your department, and you should be thinking towards that. But unfortunately for the district, I mean, we can't put it towards water. I understand that. But, like, we may need to put some of that money towards legal. You know what I mean?
I think if the meeting would be good, Paula. I think we should meet. And then we'd all feel better.
Yeah.
We all, I mean, I'm glad that you're managing it. I totally think that's what you should be doing. But there's times when we're going to have to, you know, as I say, somebody's going to have to take one for the team. And if it's the roads budget.
I've been extremely, extremely lenient with my budget, anticipating someone else is going to screw up. So I'll cover you wherever I need to. But
no, I understand. And that's the whole idea of it, of all of us sitting together then and saying, okay, where is each group? Where is each section? Because nobody in the water budget, we don't have somebody overseeing the water budget like that. I mean, we are, but you're not. You know, we have you overseeing the road budget, which is great, but it all has to work together. I mean, we can't move water to the water. I understand that. But, like, for the administration costs, we could move. We could move some of this stuff around. So that's all.
Okay.
But I think we're in great shape so far.
I agree. We need to have a dedicated meeting just on this. So that, to me especially, having gone through a full year, I have a much better understanding as to how the year actually wraps up. And just to use 12 months and take 58% of that is misleading, because we still have stuff in January. Now, our January 2020 was probably pretty low, because most of the bills that came in January were actually 2019 bills. So the January number itself is going to be pretty low, but we have to accommodate for that on the other end.
Yeah, I don't even consider January. I don't care when the bills come in. I care about when the money is committed to.
Yeah,
I mean, what really matters. So I hear what you're saying. I don't consider January, because January bills are going to come in February. So you're always lagging a month behind in terms of cash flow. But this is cash flow. It's not what's been spent. It's what money the banks according to the money we've written the checks for, but it's not the money we've actually spent.
Right, right.
So, that's what always concerns me about
Well, when you look at the budgets, though, the budget doesn't care about cash flow. It's when the work occurred, that's where you have to apply
the expenses. Right, that's what I mean. But this budget drawdown is a cash flow statement. It's not. It doesn't tell you what you've really committed to.
Okay.
So
well, I agree with
stuff
you.
So
I absolutely,
agree.
And the more questions you ask, makes us better at understanding, you know, how to make this better going forward.
Yeah. So maybe there's just a way we could work through that. Yeah. Maybe in a couple weeks we could do that.
All right.
I'd like to propose that we have a work session on the first full week of October, which will be the week of October 5th through the 9th. We can send our feedback as to our availability to Donna and Lynn, and then we can decide upon date and time. I just want to dial back real quick to past couple of years where the budget was overspent, and Paul, you nailed it. The one thing that caused that was dollars committed in these meetings, commissioners' meetings, were not reflected in the budget. So, like you said, we could have said to Kelly, yeah, go ahead and buy $10,000 worth of sand in the month of October, and he doesn't actually purchase it till December, when we also had a truck repair that cost $20,000 and we didn't anticipate the two. So there needs to be that visibility, as Paula pointed out, as to those dollars that you've committed in particular meetings, which won't actually show up until months later.
Right.
And I thought, to be honest with you, I thought that the new QuickBooks had a mechanism to be able to track that. And I'm not really familiar with QuickBooks, but I thought that's one of the things that we went to the new version was to capture committed dollars that we've obligated ourselves to through motions so that we didn't forget about them. And then when we had to pay them, like, whoops, we're already over budget.
What it can do is it can track not motions per se, but purchase orders. So if we issue a purchase order, let's say Albany Truck Service, we knew that there was going to be a $5,000 repair on that Ford 550, then we could have created a purchase order back in October, even though the bill didn't come in until January.
But do we issue? We don't issue purchase orders for everything, do we?
The system in place that got followed some of the time. I don't think it was. Yeah. I think Kelly was good at getting a purchase order for things he needed, but other things, if we kind of felt, well, it's going to be approved, purchased, and invoiced all within the same 2 or 3 weeks, it almost didn't make sense to do all the extra paperwork because we weren't tracking a long-term PO. So maybe the beginning of the calendar year would be good to get back to that system.
Yeah. I mean, the other option is just do it, like to export this as a worksheet, as an Excel, and just create a couple of columns.
But, Donna, have you dealt with a purchase order?
Nope.
You have not?
Nope.
Oh, okay. So
that's
because
my credit's been limited.
Yeah.
It used to be 200. We had purchase orders out the wazoo.
It'd be several a week.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that'd be easy. I'd say to you, Donna, what do we have committed in the purchase orders that have not yet been paid? And you'd be able to say, oh, okay, let me add them up.
Yeah. I think with QuickBooks, I am working with Catherine. Catherine found it, they're called Centric. She was unclear of how it was done. So what I had done was print off every statement, and we get billed a flat rate plus extra minutes from the previous month, but it doesn't total up to the $30 or it overcharges. So she's working with me to put into a system that I put in the usage of the statement. So I think maybe somehow we can put in you know, it would be listed on our QuickBooks that it's a bill that's outstanding that we will have to pay. So maybe I can ask Catherine on Monday her input on it.
Yeah, because what will happen is when you enter a purchase order, it gets expensed that day to the cost center. So whether it's a picnic table or whether it's sand or salt or anything, it gets automatically applied to that cost regardless of when we pay it. So when we pay it
right. And
we create the check, it goes against the accounts payable, not against water or buildings or trucks. It goes against accounts payable. And because when you create the PO, it goes against those cost centers. That's how you expense it when you generate the PO. So then you're not caught short. It's already expensed for this year, regardless of when you pay it.
Yep. Okay.
So, okay. All right. We can do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So we got a work session. Got a work session first week of October, and we'll take a good look at what we anticipate for the rest of the year and what we got left. Okay. Any other conversation on this? All right. Great.
I think so.
Okay. All right, I'm going to move down to signature items. We have actually two letters. We have a letter to the property owner at number 9, which we discussed already. Has everybody seen that letter?
Yes, I thought that was worded very well.
Okay, and we also have a letter to Mr. Ted Foley in regards to his outstanding water usage fees. We have that. Thank you, Kathy, in front of us. I'll make a motion that we sign both letters, the letter to number 9 Reinhardt, for the water hookup application, as well as the letter to Mr. Ted Poley regarding overdue water usage fees. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Yes.
Aye. Apologize for that. Okay. So we got 3 ayes?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who seconded that?
Kathy.
There's the one for Ted. Do we have the other one for number 9?
No, it was in there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There we go.
Yeah, so, Donna?
Yeah.
Donna? The one to Mr. Foley, could you just confirm the two addresses? You know, his mailing address, I think he's on Grissom, and the property he's inquiring about is on Gratchen. So just confirm those the street numbers and addresses, please. And then I also left blank the last line to insert the total that's owed at this point.
It goes to Ted, but it's for Ed Foley's property.
Okay, just make sure the addresses are right, and then I left a spot at the very bottom to enter in the exact amount that's due.
Okay.
Just left it XXX. I just put XXX, so... Just don't send it out with that in it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I put the amount in when I printed it off.
Okay.
All
right. I'm going to jump down to the water system. We had a water outage 2 days ago. The hookup that was being done at 34 Interlaken.
Yeah.
So Dawson's did notify. Was it Kathy?
No, this was a water hookup.
Yeah.
That Ian was doing for 34 Interlaken.
Yeah.
I guess Dawson was doing the digging. Ian had Ryan from Dawson call to say there'll be an outage. They had to go across the road.
Okay, but they did hit the pipe, right, Kathy?
After the fact.
Yeah.
I think what happened was it was funny because Ryan was explaining it on the speakerphone, and I think he was saying they were gonna close the road because they had to go across the road, and then after he hung up, we're like, well, is it gonna be a water outage or a road closure? And we weren't quite sure. And then within 5 minutes, they hit a water line, so it became a water outage.
Yeah. Okay.
So and because Ian called me on his way to go get parts, so we did put a notice that the road would be we posted a water outage, so at least people knew that the district was working in that area, and we got the message to them as soon as we got notified by Ryan that they were working on the water hookup.
Okay, just one question. Was Ian on site during this hookup, or did he have to come down
he
from Harlow?
He was doing the hookup.
He was doing it. He was there.
Yeah.
Okay. Or did he get called down when the break happened?
No, it was he was putting in the water, a new water hookup for 34 Interlaken.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Because normally with a hookup, there's not a water outage.
Right.
So
they call a wet tap.
Right, because I think what they did was originally Ryan called saying that they thought the road they were going to have to dig across the road. They were going to close the road for a short time, but then it ultimately ended up being a water outage because they did hit the water main.
Yep. Okay. All right. I'm going to jump down to commissioner's report. So there was a letter that came through yesterday from DES that we were in violation. And that letter has been rescinded because they did get the data that was requested. It was an automatic letter that gets generated by their reporting system, so that was in error. As Chris mentioned, the tank leak test is good. So I'll jump down to Kathy. You were going to send something out to the Department of Labor. We're all set and ready to be inspected.
Yeah, I did. I actually got a reply. They're going to come in on, and Kelly may want to be aware of this. She gave us four dates, Tuesday, September 15th, Wednesday, September 16th, Wednesday, September 23rd, or Friday, September 25th. So, you know, we'll need to get access to DPW 1 and DPW 2 so that she can walk around and make sure that everything that's supposed to be repaired and fixed is done. So if you have any preference on any of those four dates, Kelly?
No, I don't. I already forgot them. I'm here. Somebody's here.
Okay. All right. I thought that one of the Wednesdays would probably be better. Fridays, it's a tough day because, you know, a lot's going on. And Tuesdays, I'll pick one of the Wednesdays, September 26th or September 23rd.
Sure.
And Donna, do you have any preference either way? Is there anything going on that we should be aware of?
What dates are we playing with?
I'm thinking the 23rd. I'm thinking September.
So that Wednesday would be good because nothing would be doing here. So, like just getting the agenda together and stuff. So,
I'll reply to her and tell her that the Wednesday, September 23rd is good, and I will plan to meet her in the office or at the office area.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. And is that all you got, Kathy?
Nope. The only other thing is I did sit down with Lynn for a few minutes and kind of reviewed how MailChimp works, and I'm hoping to be able to transition that responsibility over to her. Maybe the next two or three times we do kind of newsletters and updates, we'll sit and do it together, and then I think that'll be more than adequate as far as training is concerned.
All right. Great. Paula, you're up next. Go ahead.
I don't have anything new. And as I said at the last meeting on Tuesday, if there's anything you want me to take on or help out with Kathy, I know with some of the newsletter or anything else, let me know. I mean, I do have access now to the website. I did get the password because we were worried that one time when you were away. So I can create an account for myself on the website. And I think I can set myself up as an admin now, just with a separate with two logins. But I don't know if there's anything I can work on. You know, I've been trying to keep notes for the. It's kind of early, probably to do the start working on next year. So I don't know.
No, never too early.
Okay. But let me know. You know, if anything comes. I've been trying to listen for anything that comes up that I can help with. But
there is Paul. If you don't mind, it was I was thinking of that because I remember you mentioning that, and there was actually a couple of things from DES. One is an emergency. We need to have an emergency interconnection plan in case we completely run dry or our well becomes contaminated. What is our second supply of water? Is it bulk delivery, which is one method? This is what I had in the, on the agenda a couple weeks ago. The other would be interconnecting with North Conway or Conway. I'm sorry, Conway.
Kathy, you still there?
Yep. Sorry. Yep.
Oh, the office cut off. It's been exactly 2 hours. So.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully they'll log back on. I think I saw an email about this. I'm going to look for that while they're logging back on. It might take them a minute to realize he's not on. Didn't we get an email?
Because I think the emergency evacuation plan is due next year. Not evacuation, but the emergency water plan.
Okay. We have like four wells, don't we?
Well, Jay said, well, maybe we can connect over to Cranmore Shores. And that way, if their water system fails, they can tap off of ours and vice versa. And when Chris Albert, he said, yeah, that's a mile and a half of water line. It's like a $300,000 endeavor.
Okay.
So I don't think that's going to be a warrant article for next year.
All right. I got to find that email. I think I filed it. I think there was a... I'll look for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think I see it. Okay.
That was pretty funny to go up to the water tank and see that little garden hose in there.
That must have been for the leak test. My friend, whoever. Oh, it was with my sister-in-law. Hello.
Hi.
Are you back?
Yeah.
You're back.
I'm sorry, we're back. Yep.
We're all back.
Okay.
Yep.
There we are.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was looking for that email.
I found that email, the emergency planning document using alternate sources. Is that it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I will look through that email and try and figure out what we need. And I'm sure I'm going to have to talk to some folks to better understand that. But I can start to work on that for sure.
Okay. There was another one that's also due in 2021. I believe it's 2021. Which is the emergency dam management process.
Oh, okay.
And that's, if you want, I can look at that one. Because that actually has to be collaborated with the town of Madison, because any failure of that dam will impact them. So,
okay. I think, Jay, is that the one you said we would probably require an engineer to help put that plan together?
Oh, yeah. You're going to have an engineered stamped plan as to how that water flow is going to impact any of the housing down below or the property of the town and the highway itself. So, yep.
I mean, should we get a quote from Chris to see if that's something that his firm can do? So at least if we have to put a warrant article together for 2021 for $10,000 because we have to have this plan done.
Right. Yep, and I'll also reach out.
I have something else. Oh, I'm sorry. Finish up.
Yeah, I'll reach out also to DES to see what engineering firms have done such plans in the past so that we have at least a plethora of firms that we can actually contact, make sure we've done our diligence.
Okay. All right.
Oh, the other thing I thought of, if you want me to take it, is the an RFP for the audit. Because I was looking, I know there was an issue around finding another accounting firm, and I know, Jay, you were going to do it. I don't know if you've gotten to it. If you haven't, I'd be happy to take that on.
That's good. The only other alternative, because I've actually called a couple of different towns, and everybody seems to use the same person. But the only other outreach I was going to do, which I haven't yet, I apologize, was to reach out to NHMA to see what firms they're aware of that deal with other towns throughout all of New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, I can do that. Is that woman? Who do you call there?
Nats Graves is the lawyer, the attorney, but they have an easy website. Anytime you put an inquiry in, they send it to somebody that's on staff, and they get right back to you.
All right, I'll follow up on that. Because I was looking at... For some reason, I was looking for something about a month ago on Tamworth and on maybe in Conway, and both of them, two towns, I don't remember which ones they were, one was Tamworth, had recently done an RFP for a new audit firm. So I was just curious. What I was going to do is to look to see if I could find out who they RFP'd, like what firms did they reach out to, who responded, and then who they ended up picking. I couldn't. I sort of started looking, and then I kind of lost track of it, and I didn't finish up. But that was. I think this is pretty common. So everyone in the end may end up picking this one firm because they're the least expensive. But I'll work on that. That's pretty. I can probably. That's just a lot of investigative stuff. So I'll start working on that because I think for the budget for next year we need to figure out how much we're going to need if we need more. So
yeah, which we're going to either way, whether we stay with Green and Roberts or whether we choose another firm, we're still going to have to increment that by several thousand dollars.
Yeah. You guys had pointed that out before, so I'll work on that and
perfect.
See what I can see how far I can get on that one.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to jump and open it. Let me just run down and make sure I got everybody's correspondence. We have a request from Pat Freisinger. He's asking when to remove the canoes and kayaks from the racks and Idlewise Beach.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually, I didn't have a chance to look that up in the ordinance, but it's actually in the ordinance, right?
The is beach. That the yeah. October 31st?
Yeah, I believe it is. Is that right? Did anybody look that up? I apologize, I didn't get a chance to.
I can look it up right now while we're talking. It's the beach ordinance?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm just going on the website.
Yeah, the
what
start
else?
Date.
Was there anything else?
While Paul is doing that, so we can reply back to that individual, we have a Matthew Coburn at number 12 Interlake. And did we respond back to him? This is
I didn't know what.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'd rather not.
I know it was discussed last meeting, but I didn't in the minutes.
Oh.
There was no outcome of what who or what was supposed to be.
So Ian actually looked at the pipe. Ian, we'll have to contact Ian, asking him if this pipe meets today's standard, and does the service line need to be entirely replaced, or if it is a break to an acceptable pipe, can it be repaired?
Okay, so.
So Ian's the water operator. He will, you want to write that on there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll write this down.
Thank you.
Okay, no, I found that date. Sorry.
Okay.
It's November 11th, which is Veterans Day, I think is the reason that date was picked.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So just say November 11th or Veterans Day weekend. I mean, we wouldn't, that would probably be the best.
Okay. All right.
And there's your response to.
Yeah.
That's going to be Ian.
Yeah.
We'll answer that question.
Okay.
I had sent some pictures. No comments necessary. We spoke with Mark Raffam. We also got a report back from Granite State on our pH, which was acceptable, within range. We got the correspondence from Jacqueline Haworth.
That's just DES.
Good with that. And Kathy had also sent a correspondence on the 34 Interlaken hookup. And I think that's it. I just got to sit with you on Michelle Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we got. I thought it was going to be a late week. You never know.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody on the call that has any public comments? I'll open it up for public comment at this
time.
There's
nobody. There's just the three of us.
Okay. So I'll close public comment. I want to go into non-public under. Let me just look at my cheat sheet.
This we have to,
91A. Is that my cheat sheet?
Oh, it's mine, but you can have it.
Dash A, colon 3, under section L. Here it is, which is legal advice, legal counsel.
Okay.
I'll take a roll call.
And then we have to hang up.
Yeah. So I'll take a roll call, and if you folks could call back in to go into non-public, I say aye.
Aye.
Yes. Kathy? Sorry, I was on mute. I say yes. Okay. Sorry. I'll call back
in. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye.